It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
What a story, Mark.
Hello, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoce@WFYI.org, also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Soce. The show is available as a podcast, also available on iTunes. We also have a blog, which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com. I'm going to stick with the theme of getting through this intro real fast here.
Yes, and also, if you go to the film blog, you can check out our interview page, where we have some of the interviews Film Sociology past put up. The voice you just heard, Kobe Slagle.
Yep.
Happy with the draft? Happy with the round two pick?
Really happy with the draft. Happy with the draft. I have no idea what they even did.
They drafted a player.
Well, I think they... I didn't watch it last night, and I think they... I read online today that they sold their pick, or they're concerned about re-signing Lance and Larry Bird. Oh, that's our top priority, is re-signing Lance Stevenson.
Is that your Larry Bird impression?
Yeah, that's my Larry Bird impression.
You
good,
got the
huh?
You got the nice blonde wispy mustache. Short shorts. It's good. And proper use of retro show opening, because of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly,
yes.
And Tommy Wiseau are both involved with today's program. We'll get to that in a little bit. Joining us today, he started with Indie Style. Yes, how fast they have fallen to go from Tracy and Andy to Matt and Kobe. It's Chris Loy of the Film Lab. Yeah, hi, Chris.
How you doing? I am the guy who wears shorts on television.
Did you?
I did.
Good for you.
Because, you know,
not represented.
We have Casual Fridays. You know, I love Casual Friday in the marketing game. Casual
yes.
Friday gets very casual. And
but you wore pants.
But yeah, so like, but now I'm doing the TV show, so like every Friday I have to actually wear like nice pants and shoes and everything like that. And I just get sick of it. It's like, you know what? It's hot. Everyone else is wearing shorts.
So you're going to do it. Good for you. The hairy legged members of the audience need to be represented.
Chris woke up
this morning and said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it today. Today's the day. Yep.
People just have to suffer through my ghost legs.
Your ghost leg. That's also new Nick Cage movie, Ghost Leg. No, but I...
He's the only one that can walk on both sides.
I think, not the last time I filled in for you, but the time before, I went on, and of course I had my full Tevye beard and big hair and everything, but I went and I wore a dress shirt and it was untucked. And I got some riffing from a couple of friends online, Jeff Marker. And I was like, "Hey, the untucked Nick needs to be represented." So, because you can't out dash Andy and Tracy.
Yeah.
So just that go the other way.
That was a cool look. Like my senior year of high school was like, guy would like wear a nice Oxford button up shirt, but have it untucked.
Untucked with a T-shirt underneath.
No, at least not my
neighborhood. I did that. I'm older, so.
No. So was it unbuttoned? So
oh yeah.
Okay. No. Yeah. So ours was buttoned but untucked.
Yeah, I was buttoned. Well, for Indie Style, I was buttoned but untucked, and I apparently was a slob. But then again, I grew a beard when I was on Fox 59 AM to see if anybody would say anything, and they didn't.
Yeah.
And now the beard's gone.
So was there an undershirt, like the wife beater underneath there?
Those are undershirts. I do not wear
I don't understand
beaters.
The concept of undershirts, particularly when it's hot. Because then people are like, oh, well, you need that because it's hot. I'm like, well, yeah, so why would I wear more clothes
exactly.
when it's hot?
Thank you, Chris.
It's still because it's still going to be a dry cleaning bill. Your dress shirt will get... Well, you're wearing it, so it has your funk on you.
Yes.
You're going to have to get it cleaned, undershirt or not.
Yeah. So,
welcome to the dry cleaning portion of Film Sociology. Usually, we have to add that now, Kobe, because usually it's sports, which we already did, or food.
So we got the cleaners this week.
And now we have dry cleaning. So good. This is a great program.
Got a couple ties and a couple shirts. A
couple of shirts. That's right. So we got to work on that underwriting.
I know some people.
You do. You have your list.
Yes.
You have your list. I go into Kobe's office, and he's working on the list of people. And then the list of people, they won't call him back.
Yeah.
Got to work on that.
We're not going to talk about
that. No, we're not going to talk about that. okay. So opening – I guess let's start with in the second half of today's show. Great show, by the way. Always.
Great show.
Sounds like SNL. We are going to replay my classic interview with filmmaker Tommy Wiseau because tonight – and tomorrow night, midnight at Landmark Keystone Art Cinemas, The Room. And Chris is already shaking his head. I am going to be there tonight at midnight. Kobe and Bianca are there tomorrow night?
Yes. I think so. Yep.
So I have to say it with a high-pitched voice because I want to make sure it's 100%.
Now, Chris, you've seen this, yes?
I still have not seen it in its entirety, but I've watched so many clips.
Online, yes.
Okay. That I've probably seen like 60%
of it. But you need to see it with an audience. It is a Rocky Horror-esque experience, and as was this interview. This is my – okay, Fresh Air, you know, they will replay interviews involving Breaking Bad, The Wire, Mad Men. This is mine. So, you know, you'll hear Tommy Wiseau at least twice a year.
Yeah, and this is what we were talking about lately, whenever I've been telling people about trying to come out to the midnight showing, you'll be up until 2 a.m, but you will be glad that you did.
Yes, indeed, mm-hmm. it is a lot of fun. I guarantee it. So, opening in theaters today. Well, there's one that I do want to talk about before we get into, because I also want to talk about the legacy of Eli Wallach. To me, this is more important than a film that's opening today. But you did see, Chris. You saw Obvious Child.
Yeah,
and somebody on social media, I think, had labeled it the abortion comedy.
Yeah, that's what it's been.
I thought Citizen Ruth was the abortion comedy, but
was like 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah, I know, but so I guess it's ready. Well, I guess we're ready for another
time for
one.
A new one.
Yeah, now we should mention that the writer director Gillian Robespierre, perhaps or perhaps not related to the French Revolution figure,
a very NPR sounding name.
Yes. You know, they are really resisting that title just because, you know, like people remember Citizen Ruth movie.
Alexander Payne's first film with Laura Dern.
Yeah, it was very explicitly a political satire, a send-up of the abortion issue.
Equally shooting at both sides.
Yeah, and this is basically, it's a romantic comedy, you know, with some, you know, more serious moments. But, I mean, it's a romantic comedy. It's knocked up, except she decides not to have the baby.
And shorter.
Yeah.
And less shrill.
Yeah. And, you know, with some talent in the lead role.
Oh, and this woman, she's not going to change her mind 6 months after filming about how
I
she felt about making
it. Catherine Heigl.
That's a Catherine. I'm sorry. That Catherine Heigl joke will never get old.
Yes. She's going back to TV, I think, right?
Yes, she is.
Yes, where she belongs.
Yeah, right there.
You are not a movie star.
Not taking up 2 hours and 15 minutes of our time.
Between her and Seth MacFarlane. I just want to say, I'm like,
ooh,
you guys are so good at TV.
Stay
please
there.
Stay there.
Wow, you saw the joke times five film he did this summer. Apparently,
no, I did not.
Oh, you did not. Okay,
I did not.
Okay. Well, we'll get to
that. He still wants to be a movie star.
I understand. As do I. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen.
Yeah. But anyway, so this movie, you know, came out of Sundance, was a real big hit. You know, and kind of got this reputation as, you know, the abortion comedy. And they're resisting that title, but at the same time, it's sort of like, hey, don't call us the abortion comedy. Don't call us the abortion comedy. Hey, what's the abortion comedy?
Right.
So they're kind of flying on it as well as. And so it stars Jenny Slate, which people around here probably would know her best from Parks and Recreation. You remember, what's the dippy friend of Tom Haverford? The crazy guy.
Kobe.
Like the wild, crazy, and party guy. And then a couple years ago, they introduced his sister. And so Jenny Slate plays her. So she's had some real fun, little bitty roles. She was on Saturday Night Live for like, you know, an hour.
I think. Was she one of the backups?
Yeah, like 2009. She was a cast member
also
like 2009,
featuring.
2010.
Yeah.
Did not get renewed the next season.
She's Janine Garofalo.
Yeah. Probably better for her and everyone.
And that's okay.
So she's playing kind of a Lee, you know, a version of her own self, you know, a 20-something rising stand-up comedian. And this is kind of very much in that tradition of movies like Frances Ha or the HBO show Girls.
So have you had your fill of New York female 20-somethings?
Yeah, you know, I had already had my fill just because I was not a big fan of Frances Ha or the Girls TV show.
Uh-huh.
It was like this very, it's all about, you know, their lives are so disheveled and messy and, you know, my career is going nowhere and my love life is even
worse. With a publishing
and,
firm.
You know, and I'm living a little, and it's sort of this desperate anti-neediness. It's like passive aggressive neediness. Like, you know, like I'm such a mess and pathetic and hopeless. Love me. That's
how I got my wife.
that's kind of
that's how you got your wife too.
That's kind of
and you. What are you talking?
No, I ordered her online like pants,
but she came without. We are kidding.
Anyway, so a funny movie, but also some bracing moments.
Okay,
a lot of fun. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Certainly better than the, you know, transmogrifying tie-in merchandising movie, the other one. Big,
right.
Big one coming out this
okay.
week.
Well, that's fine. So do we have a response, or are you just piddling around over there? Are you looking at the draft?
I was, but then I something else cool happened, and then
yeah, this show. This show is happening.
I know, but
I'm sorry we're... oh my gosh!
Yeah, it's not hella bad.
It's better than that.
Yeah, I think one up from that.
Gosh,
one up from. See, I need a scale. I need
see,
to make a
see,
scale.
I'm the same way. I need a scale. Like at my kids.
No, you don't need a scale. You just need a verbal thing.
At my kids' school, for their disciplining, they used to do things like stay on green, or you're getting on red for like you're doing bad stuff. Now they've introduced this multi-tiered system where like. You're a rabbit. You're a tortoise. He comes home today like, Daddy, I was a tortoise today. I was like,
no.
I'm like, my wife, is that good? Is that
That's
bad? I literally need like a chart with, you know, with pictures so I can, you know, refer to it.
He's
like,
a tortoise.
Oh, good job. Or, oh, well, let's try better next day.
Yeah, try to be a faster animal. But he beats a hare.
But I should have brought that for the show today.
No, I have been told I don't like ratings unless I'm paid. And then I remember you said that the sound bites are the rating systems themselves, but I would rather have that than a star because you'll look for the star rating and you won't listen to the review, even though we're on radio. but Kobe's just throwing sound bites, herky.
Y'all love it, so
y'all
love it, yeah. So we're just using the greatest hits, which is fine. Yeah, whatever. So. And speaking of Film Open last week, I didn't get a chance to clarify myself, and I got a note about this. The film Jersey Boys, which, by the way, you can go to Ed Johnsonott's review of it in this week's Nouveau, called "Oh What a Drag." I don't think he wrote that, but I said last week that I enjoyed the film, I was entertained by it, even though it brought absolutely nothing new to the story.
Yeah, it's
and what I meant by that, because some people, what do you mean? And I said, because if you've seen The Commitments, That Thing You Do, Dreamgirls, any film, Almost Famous, any film about a band, any film about musicians, all the cliches are there. Ego, bad management, bad money, bad lifestyle choices, women, bad women, good women. You know,
why are you always on the road?
Yeah, all of those are there. They're all there. Well, and maybe no drugs, but you know, some choice, and the mob, even though they're not involved in show business. You know, they're all there, and I still enjoyed it.
Yeah,
so that's what I was trying to clarify.
I understand, like the movies, like The Commitments, or what was the other one you mentioned?
That Thing You Do.
Yeah, I mean those
Dream Girls.
Those were stories with music. Whereas Jersey Boys, you know, is part of that tradition of, you know, revival shows on Broadway, what they call jukebox.
Yeah, it's a jukebox music, but there's more.
It's music with a story,
right?
So it's like you already know the music. Now here's a story, as opposed to, you know,
and the film doesn't. And I had Mike Perry here last week, and he is not a musical person. I said it really becomes a musical during the closing credits.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. Part. I mean, I thought, you know, some of the talky scenes did not work very well. I did not think that the lead actor, other than the singing, which he was very very good at mimicking for Frankie Valli, I didn't think he was particularly adept. And yes, I know he won a Tony for the role,
but it was also 9 years. He's 38.
He's 38, and when we first meet him, he's 16 in the movie, and I totally bought it.
Yeah, that's pretty
so
cool.
Either like the Oscar winner for best makeup next year, or that.
Well,
kid just
I would say that, but then there's the scene at the 1990 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's not quite for the boys bad, but
yeah.
It was. You guys just put gray stuff on your faces, and that's it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a balance.
I enjoyed the movie too, just because. Well, also, you know, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. It's just such a I mean, to me, it's like the Beach Boys, the Beatles,
yep.
All that. Just it's such a classic.
And there will be no Beach Boys movie. I mean, they made a TV movie a while back, but I don't think that's happening. That's a messed up family.
Well, I mean, well, that's just it. The problem is trying to find a narrative through line in actual history.
Right.
It's really hard to do, and you kind of have to ignore things or invent things.
Yeah.
I was having this discussion actually at the screening with somebody about, you know, how doing that, like the movie Ray about Ray Charles.
Yes.
Which, you know, there's a whole sequence of the movie where, like, he finds out that he has an illegitimate child and he has to confront his wife. And there's this whole big, you know, storm and drang and, you know, terrible mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. And, it, you know, totally felt authentic in the movie. In real life, though, that did happen to Ray, except it happened 8 more times because he had 9 illegitimate children. And it's like, how do you put that in a movie? I mean, you couldn't, like, show,
a
like,
montage.
Not 8 more times they have the same scene. Yeah, exactly. The montage of, you know, she puts her head down and starts crying.
And by the way, that's why there will never be a biopic on Screamin' Jay Hawkins. look, there's a page. Look it up. I mean, make Sean Kemp envious. Okay, so we got some other events going on around town. If you don't want to check out Obvious Child, but it sounds like you should, tonight at the Artcraft Theater in Franklin, tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. tonight, 2 and 7:30 p.m. tomorrow, from 1952. And I wondered if you've written about this series, Chris, Ma and Pa Kettle at the Fair.
I don't think I've heard of it, but I don't think I've written about it.
Well, there you go. That's out there tonight at the art. At the IMA. Kobe, do you have that up? I know what's going to be there tonight.
Tonight.
It is, you've heard me take off my shoe and bang it against the table like Khrushchev. Real stunts done by real drivers. Best picture winner from 1971.
Oh, yes.
The French Connection.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a must see.
French Connection is awesome.
Great.
Great
film.
Because that type of movie, you know, the sort of the dramatic police action thriller, whatever you call it, generally does not, you know, get Oscar love.
No, and Gene Hackman got Best Actor, and that helped launch Roy Scheider's career, and a great chase scene. In fact, speaking of William Friedkin, fun guy to hang out with, the week after my play closed, this was my double feature, because I bought both on Blu-ray. I had a double feature of The Wages of Fear and Sorcerer.
Wow.
Worth every dollar.
Sorcerer is currently in my Netflix queue.
Get it. It is, and it's so one of the mishandled movies because they named it, the studio named it Sorcerer because it sounded like The Exorcist, even though it has nothing to do with demonic possession. It's about guys driving nitroglycerin through dangerous territory.
Yeah.
And it's so well done. And it's a real truck on a real bridge. They don't do this anymore. Now get off our lawn, damn it.
Best car chase scene of a movie of all time? I mean, French Connection's up there. Bullet.
Bullet. Now, I still...
The Vanishing.
Vanishing Point is really good. Vanishing the Seven Point. Ups. Ronin.
Yeah, Ronin.
Ronin's really good. Say what you will about the film, but Death Proof.
Oh, yeah.
Quentin Tarantino's Death Proof. Road Warrior. That's a good lot.
Yeah,
right,
see, I'm not sure I would call that, a, you know, because it's like, which car chase do you
that's
pick?
That's multiple. I mean the big tanker, the one with the big tanker at the end.
That's a pretty good one.
So you know what? Maybe we should instead of a screening, we should just have a car chase fest. We could do that.
Oh man,
we should work on that.
You know, you've seen about Road Warrior 4 coming out?
I saw pictures. So it's actually I saw a picture.
It's happening.
It's Charlize happening.
Theron's,
Tom Hardy.
They're shooting it.
So yeah. This is going to be the opposite. It's going to be Tom Hardy in a car for 90 minutes.
Yeah, I'm kind of upset that it's not Mel Gibson. I mean, is it supposed to be another character, or is it actually supposed to be Max?
I don't know.
From the studio, the stills I you know, remember from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, he has all these kids, you know, aging up to teenagers.
Yeah.
You know, like 8 to 17 in the movie. There's like the one kid with like the death mask makeup that he wears and the girl. From the pictures that I've seen of this, it looks like it's those characters aged, you know, mm-hmm. 15 or 20 years further.
And because Tom Hardy's involved, not Mel Gibson, there will actually be Jews in the post-apocalyptic world. So
Jews cause all the car crashes in the world.
That's right. Look it up, folks. We're all right. Tonight at Garfield Park. No, tomorrow night is the 28th, right? At the Garfield Park Art Center, 9 o'clock, free event, Movies on the Lawn, Young Frankenstein.
Ooh, boy.
That's a great movie weekend here in Indianapolis. You have no excuses, folks.
And we're in the middle of the Heartland Summer Rewind.
That's right.
Easy for me to say.
At the Heartland Basile Theater.
It started last night.
In the Wheeler Arts
tomorrow, yeah.
Go to heartlandfilm.org for schedule and tickets. I know they just announced the lineup for the Indie Film Festival as well. Heartland's mini-fest, as we said.
Yep.
What is happening at your alma mater, Mr. Slagle?
Well, it looks like we have one final weekend here, and then we're on a break until the beginning of August. Tonight, Friday, June 27th, Saturday, June 28th, 7 o'clock tonight, 3 o'clock tomorrow, from 2014, drama, horror, romance, Only Lovers Left Alive.
Good, wow. For once, a good vampire film.
So there you go.
The Jim Jarmusch film with Tilda Swinton. Enjoyed that. Okay. Now, I brought this up last week, Chris, so I want you to ponder this, and maybe we'll get your answer a little later on the show. But we're reading at the Tibbs. Oddest drive-in double feature. And I bring this up because last week they had Think Like a Man 2 and Edge of Tomorrow. Now, my first thing was, I thought, same studio? I'm not sure. Because the other weird coupling is they're both Fox films. The Fault in Our Stars and X-Men.
Wow.
And Lynn, my wife, made a good point after the show. She's like, one for her, one for him. So I went online, and Mike Perry said he was at an old school event where it was Grease and To Catch a Thief. So I went online, and I went on Twitter, at Matthew Sosie, and Facebook, and I asked some listeners and readers and fans their picks. Your very own Nick Rogers remembers going to Cool World and Boomerang.
Oof. Wow.
That's pretty bad. Christine from Michigan writes, 1978, Convoy and Jaws 2.
Holy.
That's just bad. But no, those are two action-y films, I guess.
So there's a little bit of attention.
Tracy Forner from Indie Style, who you spent this morning with, of course, writes, who watches the movies at a drive-in? Apparently not Tracy. He's a smooth criminal. but he did write Finding Nemo and Dodgeball.
Wow.
You're really hoping the kids fall asleep for after the first feature.
Wow. Was Dodgeball like R?
No, it was PG-13. The guy who on Facebook goes by Classic Monster Movie Books, as a kid, Jason and the Argonauts and The Deep.
Ooh.
Underwater, I don't know. But then he writes, parents decided that The Deep was too adult, so we left. At least we got to see the better of the two movies. However, you got to see the opening scene from The Deep. Salute to Jacqueline Bisset.
There's a very big. That was a big era, like the 70s. It was a big era for underwater nude swimming shots.
Yes, and also Eli Wallach, also in The Deep, which we'll get to in a little bit. Mark from Richmond.
He wasn't swimming naked underwater.
No, heavens no. Mark Edwards, who was Baraccio in our production of Much Ado About Nothing from Richmond, he writes, Wizards and Phantom of the Paradise.
I haven't seen the latter one. Wow.
The Brian De Palma. That's coming out on Blu-ray pretty soon. So anyway, there is that. There's a couple of titles on Blu-ray. Well, the one that's worth checking out, the pick this week, Criterion has put out A Hard Day's Night.
All right.
And so now I have to look and see at the features, because I already have a nice two-disc collection of A Hard Day's Night. So I have to see if there's new material on that. New on DVD, new titles, 300 Rise of an Empire. More homoeroticism, less Gerard Butler, right?
Yeah, all the guts, none of the glory of the last one.
Winter's Tale, the Colin Farrell time travel looking thing that nobody saw.
Died. It was actually directed. I think it was Akiva Goldsman.
Yes,
very successful screenwriter making his directing debut. Did not do well.
And Blood Ties, which I don't think ever came to town. Two brothers on different sides of the law. Of course, the brothers are in the 1970s. Clive Owen, Billy Crudup, Marion Cotillard, James Caan, Mila Kunis. So I missed it. Okay. I want to get to the – we'll get to our chat with Tommy Wiseau in a little bit. But everybody raise a glass. He was working until 96 years old. His last film, he was 96, died this week at 98. Eli Wallach, working actor.
Yeah.
Working guy. Got a Tony for The Rose Tattoo. And apparently it was too short to play it in the movie because it went to Burt Lancaster. Another fine Jewish actor who got to play Mexican bandits, like Tuco in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
And was convincing at it.
And great at it. I mean, this was a guy who did TV and theater and films. And, yeah, his first film was Baby Doll, an Elia Kazan film with Carl Malden and Carol Baker. Lots of Playhouse 90s. Of course, yeah, played Calvera in The Magnificent Seven, and he tells the story of when he got the script, he's only in it at the beginning, and he's only in it at the end. He was kind of ticked off, and his agent said to him, who do you think they're talking about throughout the whole middle portion? Did The Misfits.
Yeah, which, he's so good in The Misfits.
How the West Was Won, Lord Jim, Genghis Khan, How to Steal a Million. Amazing as Tuco in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, a masterpiece. Got to star in his own spaghetti western, Ace High. Was, I think, depending on who you talk to, Mr. Freeze number two on Batman. Apparently, if Otto Preminger was not around, he got to do it. McKenna's Gold, Cinderella Liberty, The Sentinel, Movie, Girlfriends, The Deep, we talked about, Winter Kills, The Hunter, Tough Guys. He was fun in Tough Guys. Didn't get a chance to do that many comedies.
Yeah, he was also you don't realize he didn't make his first movie until he was in his 40s.
Exactly.
And he was one of those actors like Ossie Davis who always, you know, you always pegged him as being about 12 or 15 years younger than he actually was.
Yep.
So, you know, like when he did The Good, Bad, and the Ugly, I think he was already 50. Yeah.
Yeah. Godfather 3, The Two Jakes, Mister. I really liked him in Mistress. The Hoax, The Holiday. Two women on Facebook referred to him as the sweet old guy from The Holiday. And like, that's your first impression? Really? And then, yeah, did two films in 2010 when he was 92, when he got the honorary Oscar. And by the way, that should have been on the broadcast. I can't stand it. Get rid of the dance numbers. Bring the character, the Career Achievement Awards. We want a montage with Tuco. He was in The Ghost Rider, and he was in Wall Street. He steals a great scene making bird noises in Wall Street Money Never Sleeps.
Yeah.
And married to Ann Jackson for 66 years.
Wow.
True Hollywood guy. Thank you, Eli.
And he was not necessarily known for the method outside of, you know, actor circles, but he was really one of the big people who really studied it early on. Him and Brando and all those guys were all there right there together. And really, you know, people sort of posited it all as being Brando, but I think it was more like a collection of actresses and actors who, you know, together they kind of changed film acting.
That's right. Or as Alan Arkin says in City Island as an acting teacher, I lost 3 years of my life because of students pausing. Stop pausing. Now we're going to pause, and ladies and gentlemen, my classic interview. Now, we'll talk a little bit. The beginning of the chat deals with a screening that was at Bloomington that Kobe and I got to attend. But The Room is happening tonight and tomorrow night at midnight at the Keystone Art Cinemas, as it says in Nouveau. Thank you, honey. This is a beautiful party. You invited all my friends. Good thinking. Ladies and gentlemen, my chat with Tommy Wiseau. Joining me on Film Sociology is auteur, because you are a man of many skills, Tommy Wiseau. How are you, Tommy?
Hi, how you doing, Moss? You?
Doing great. Now, this is going to be your second appearance, if I remember correctly, at IU for The Room. How was it the last time you were in town?
Oh, we have such a groovy time that they decided to invite us again, and I'm thrilled. And first of all, I'd like to say thank you to all the fans there, and hopefully we'll have a groovy time, and everybody's invited.
Well, we will be there as best we can.
Sure.
So how did you get interested in cinema?
Well, that was a long time ago, believe it or not.
Are you okay?
I am okay. My phone is ringing right now. I apologize.
That's okay. I thought it was a submarine for just a minute.
No problem. You have a great sense of humor. I like that.
Thank you.
To respond to your question, you know, I used to want to sing, believe it or not. And some people actually, I can sing, but never mind about that. Film has always been and was in my heart, you know, was in the sense and always would be, you know, because image, you know, people remember, etc. Through all these years, I studied psychology, and this relate to, you know, to how you can connect to people. It's a lot of stuff. We probably don't have the time, but just to briefly to tell you that my first movie actually was The Robbery Doesn't Pay. It's just a short movie I did for class, and I can tell you one thing. I got that A-. You know why it's minus?
Why is that?
Because I use a black and white and colors, and a lot of people ask me why you use these colors. Like, why is not only one color? And I said, you know what? The reason for it is because of the you know, I wanted people to provoke people. And you see, The Room, it's the same thing. If you really translate my vision a long time ago about movies, what I see now. And again, I have a great respect for, this is just a little off from your question, but for everyone who produced the movie, because, you know, it is what it is. It's very difficult art. What you make a big effort, and it's, I always say, you have to be detail oriented to accomplish something. And as you probably guys know, that some people already know, it's a lot misleading about The Room, about production, etc. online. And hopefully, people are in few days, they will ask me direct questions if they will attend the screening. So move on, next question.
Okay, well, I would say to jump on what you said, yeah, regardless of what people think about whether something is good or something is bad, making a movie is really damn hard. And the
it
fact
is, it is.
The fact that you know, not only wrote and directed and acted, especially in the case with The Room, I mean, it is a task to organize and get everything that not only from a technical aspect of getting everything that you need, you know, but making sure everything is smooth on the set. How are you on the set when it comes to a director? What kind of atmosphere do you have?
I love a set, you know, but if you're, you know, I always say the set is my house, actually, the theater. I mean, if you refer to The Room, supposed to be a play. I don't know if you know that. I don't want to repeat myself because it'll be boring, but just really very quickly background of The Room. Supposed to be played first, and then I decided to, you know, write a script, etc., because of my 600 pages novel, which hopefully somebody want to publish right now, but we're working on it.
It's a 600-page novel this is based on?
Correct.
Wow.
And that was, keep in mind, again, since I'm talking to you, like I say, we don't have too much time, but very quickly, see, people don't realize this nothing happened by accident, you know, like people say, oh, this accident, that accident. For example, I'm talking as the director right now, I can create a certain ambience and I can anticipate something, but I have to plan. Without planning, you don't have it. And I don't care what you, if you, for example, does lead me to, again, to your first question about production. You know, if I don't care if you do 5 minutes movie or feature movie. Guess what? Irony of a story is, for all of you guys to listen now right now, that is the same thing. The difference is you spend more money or you make it. You know, you involve more people, but you need the beginning, you need the middle, you need the end. I rest my case. The Room is based on a 600 novel, over actually 600. So people will be surprised. And I noticed, I don't know, Matthew, if you noticed, in the past few years, people actually grasp what was creating. And again, I'm thrilled to say that I'm happy with the fans and great support. And you know, sometimes we do have a bad apple, but you know what? I just accept whatever people, you know, have comments about The Room. And again, I don't always say you have to. Actually, my motto is that if a lot of people love each other, the world will be a better place to live. By this talking from The Room, you see, it doesn't matter that. You don't have to write like The Room. And I want to stress that because a lot of people think that, oh, yeah, you have. No, you don't. You see, that's the difference between me as a director, as an actor, you as the audience as well, the listener, that you have choice. And that's what The Room is. And I think maybe that's the reason. I didn't conclude 100%, Matthew, but I'll tell you one thing, that maybe that's the reason is that people are, we have great support right now with people because they do see my vision and directly, you know. Mm-hmm. Either they'll, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I don't like this. Well, that's fine. It's nothing wrong. Same with me, you know. If I, for example, see some movie, which I don't even ask me for a name, I may drop a couple of names, maybe.
Okay.
But if I see a movie, it doesn't mean that I have to like all of it. You know, like just a segment of it, etc. Move on. Next question.
Will is the book published or will it be published?
No. Right now, currently, actually, I'm working with one publisher, very big guy, actually, one of the biggest publisher company. I don't know what will happen. It's up to them. You know, again, I'm not here to criticize. I'm not here to bashing anyone. That's not my motto. You know,
okay. Yes.
I was beat up. You know, people beat me up many times. But true fans of The Room, like in your school, you know, I'm like, I love you guys. Let me tell you this way, you know.
We're
ready, ready for pictures, and we'll have a groovy time. Move on. Next question.
Where did the source for the inspiration for The Room begin? Hopefully, it's not autobiographical.
Well, let me tell you, this is from life. You see, we all have, I don't know, you have opportunity to see several times the movie or not, but mm-hmm. The fact is that it's from life, relationships, you know, drugs issues, Just recently, I believe on CNN, I have an interview with Greg, and I say very publicly, I would say right now too, you know, between 12 and 2 in America, you have number of crime committed is very high. You may laugh with my statement, but guess what? I studied this, mm-hmm. and this is just statistically speaking. Okay, now mostly people see the room in America midnight. So I rest my case. You may say, well, maybe yes, maybe not. But I say to you, yes, it does eliminate indirectly crime. Besides this, as you probably know, and your young audience know about it, that we do not have, and I'm very strongly about it, and I think this is message maybe for, I'm not a politician yet, but this is message for mayors of the cities, you know, across the country. You guys give young people places to express themselves, parks, trees, play footballs. You know, we don't have these places anymore. I'm trying from north to south, from south to east, or whatever, name it. It's the same issue, the same problem, you know, and it's not right, you know, because I think young person, even older person, and we all have certain tendency to express ourselves emotionally through playing football or just whatever you want to do, you know. And we don't have this kind of places, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, people are sometimes doing drastic things. That's the gray area. What I think people should realize about the room, and I am very strongly about it. And I'm surprised the big media does not pick up this, you know, because it's true. This is the story. And move on, next question. So
no, it's all right.
I'm
it's
just
cool.
Give you a little speech here.
No, it's okay. Nobody wants to hear me talk. They want to hear you.
No, I want you to talk too. Just jump in anytime.
Well,
tell me, it's enough now.
Well, say
okay, 10 more minutes. All right, move on. Next question.
Were you jilted by a woman like this in the film?
Well, let me tell you, I've been in a relationship. I will not say I was not.
Okay.
Like I will tell you very honestly, two is better than three, but three is crowd. However, you can have three friends.
Yes.
And I will tell you one thing, that there's nothing wrong when Johnny in the movie, you know, say to Danny, it's okay to love somebody else. But the same time, it's process of learning how far you can go as a person. Mm-hmm. How far you can go, do you have to actually do something physically, or you just to say, look, I love you, man, or I love you to a girl or guy. It doesn't matter. You see, that's what the beauty in a relationship, that we understand and have respect, and how tempting is. I've been in many situations, I don't know you guys, but we all been there, it's tempting to be very close to someone, you know, or you have certain opportunity, but then you pay for it, you know, by breaking relationships or a relationship. I believe very strongly that we've all been there. If not, I say many times that the room is a red flag. Wait a minute, why should you do when you later on you will regret it? Mm-hmm. And I don't care how strong you are, how much money you have, that's irrelevant. You know, bottom line is, you know what? Feelings you cannot buy, Matthew. And that's the irony in the room.
Well, I say, you have people, you have now hundreds and thousands of people loving you with these screenings. You talk about a place for kids to go. When you have these screenings on campus and in theaters, you know, people have said that you single-handedly brought back the Midnight movie and the cult movie.
Right.
Well, not too much pressure, I hope.
No, I love public, and I always will. The fans, that's priority for me, you know. So it's pressure, little pressure is there, but I like it.
Now, I know right after The Room you did the documentary, you co-directed the documentary Homeless in America, is that right?
Correct, yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Because I know a lot of people know The Room, but you have done other things since.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the homeless in America is a totally different topic, as you probably know about it since you asked, is dealing with the homelessness in America. And again, you see, long story short, you cannot eliminate homelessness. And now, in since you mentioned this topic, it is what it is, as you know, in America, because of economy. Actually, I'm working on a new movie about relate to economy, and it's relate also to indirectly to homelessness. So again, this is the gray area, what people don't realize. And again, you see, some people say, oh, you know what, we can eliminate homelessness. Well, I have not, for you all your expert, you know, from politician to media, no, you cannot eliminate homelessness. If you look at a long time ago, let's say 200, 300 years ago, not this country, but other countries, you already have a homeless indirectly. But it was not recognized the way we recognize. But the good news is that if we learn about it, we will not have in America, which is, you know what, Matthew, it's really hurt my feelings that I see this, people actually, you know, lay down on the street in America, underneath the bridges. You know, it's sad. It is very eerie situation, but the good news is that we have a lot of dedicated people, and I wish, you know, I don't wish, but I probably do another documentary. Like, I want to expose all the people actually doing good things for homelessness, people who never been recognized for their hard work without, you know, to help these people, because it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And again, you see, I'm across America, I see this, you know, I just come back from Houston, the same thing. People say, oh, we don't have a homeless. Well, I'm sorry, you do have, you know. Mm-hmm. But the good news, again, is that we can eliminate, we can help these people. And that's what I come from, you know. Homeless was, did this movie just to find out the truth, not because somebody told me. And what I discovered was pretty eerie, if you ask me. But the good news is we can improve with optimism and good spirit in America. Move on, next question.
what's the status on the house that drips blood on Alex?
Well, first of all, I was hired as an actor. Let me stress that. As well as only as an actor. Okay, I did not direct. They direct. That was Comedy Central. They air it on TV and they put online. And, you know, they supposed to do second episode, I don't know, was pretty excited project. It was paid job, of course.
Yes.
And, you know, it was good experience. They could do better, but, you see, it's not me to judge. You know, some people like it, some people don't.
Well, I think what's been great is that you've been able to go from, you know, you did and I mean this as a compliment.
No problem.
I think the term melodrama gets a bad connotation, and so to go from a melodrama to documentary to horror, I mean, and just even you know, you're just acting in that, you're able to go from one genre to another.
Well, I think that's a compliment. If you ask me, you don't have to apologize, but you see, I don't call it, and again, this is your statement, melodrama. You may argue that The Room partially is melodrama based on the talking, if you analyze Johnny's character. Mm-hmm. I agree, you got me on that one. But at the same time, the reason we call black comedy, again, people don't realize black comedy leading towards melodrama.
Right.
Melodrama, as you probably know, define melodrama is based. It's more than normal.
Mm-hmm.
So you much more dramatic approach. But I don't know a story again. I will say very openly that I have some friends that they are really melodramatic, if you ask me.
We all do, Tommy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, this is based on my research, okay? Mm-hmm. And I will say, you know, that hopefully we have more discussion like that about with the fans as well, with you guys, with media, because Matthew, you're part of the media one way or the other.
Yep.
And then, you know, actually, I like to have a program, you know, if you guys can organize it while there, we can have big discussion, you know. So it's up to you guys. But anyway, move on. Next.
I say, you talk about dark comedies, black comedies. What are some of your favorites?
What do you you mean?
As far as are there other dark comedies like Dr. Strangelove or Harold and Maude that inspired you?
Well, you see, again, I inspire myself, but however, yeah, good point. I like, for example, if you look at not so much comedy or, you know, to me, comedy, let's put it this way, comedy, drama, melodrama, black comedy, whatever you define, I define as the colors. Colors means the more colors you have in within your project, in this case, The Room or other movies, even include The Homeless in America, as you mentioned, you will not just to provoke people, but it will be interesting to see your project or movie, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, some people say, oh, this is short, this is long, whatever. But the colors for me is very important. Now, to respond to your question, I influence myself, whether I'm a fan of, for example, Cleopatra with Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes.
Because, again, this is the manipulation of woman aspect in life if you compare it to Juliet in The Room. Now, Orson Welles, for example, Citizen Kane, Giants with James Dean and others. Why these people we watching, by my research, a lot of people watching from time to time, what is the reason? What is behind? Or as my case, The Room, we can say the same thing. What is behind? Is it that bad because it's good, or is it good, is it bad? Well, as you know, Matthew, bad is expression, also is good, mm-hmm. in slang in America, as you know.
Yes.
If you have two guys walking and they are close friends, they will not say, oh, this is great movie. They say, oh, this is so bad, you have to see it. And again, people, I don't understand, but, you know, some of the stuff, you know, I'm just laughing because it's laughable, to be honest with you. But the bottom line is people enjoy this film, and that's the bottom line. And we have a really great discussion like we have right now. So we have 10 more minutes. Move on, next question.
Okay. I would say, besides the documentary about the economy, is there any scripts or feature films that you have planned?
Yes, absolutely. I'm working on vampire movie as well as Alex Blood, Vampire the Alex, as well. There'll be continuous what we did with Comedy Central, but slightly different angle. As well as I'm working currently, I'm shooting The Neighbors. We are casting currently, actually today, believe it or not. So I'm working very hard to entertain people. Hopefully people have a groovy time.
I'm saying, how far is, what do you think will happen next? Which one do you think will come, or is it, you know, whatever comes to you first?
Well, The Neighbors actually will be available within probably 2 months. We're doing 5 episodes. And The Economy wanted to release before June. At Vampire, I'm working. But at the same time, I don't know if you're aware, but we'll be releasing Blu-ray of The Room. And that'll be before Christmas. As well as I'm working also on the 3D movie as well. 3D of The Room.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm doing the testing almost as we speak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we did some of it because we are, I don't know if you want to hear more about it, but just one sentence about it. We are scanning from 35 millimeter print.
Right.
I'm referring to 3D of The Room.
Mm-hmm.
The Room with in 3D.
So the love, we're going to get even closer to the love scenes.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
So we're going to get even closer to you guys during the love scenes.
I think so.
As a director, what do you what's some of the things that you do to help out actors? I know you had a fairly young cast on The Room, but how do you approach actors from a directing standpoint? And how do you direct yourself?
Well, and directing is very tough, you see. So again, I have a system. If you refer to the room, I had a system, and now I have a system as well, that, you know, I'm doing ratio 1-4, and basically I believe in rehearsal process. In The Room, we have like you know, 6 months rehearsal before we shot the room. But irony of the story is, but I did change the actors several times, as well the crew was changed four times. So a lot of actors, there's only one, two person who actually been with me for a long time, what you see on the big screen. But to respond to your question, I am very detail-oriented person, if I may say that. Yes, of course I can say that.
You just did.
but at the same time, not self-centered. Let me say that too. My system is pretty straightforward. What I can share with you if you want to hear.
Please.
Well, you record yourself, then you watch yourself, and then you try to adjust base what you see. And I believe in adjustment, you see, at the same time, but you have to, one of the gray areas, you have to eliminate your subjective approach. So you go base as a, I am as a director, I say, what is the character saying, what he or she is doing, what's the situation? So it's a lot of obstacles come to your brain, and you have to divide it. You cannot combine together because then you get lost. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see yourself, then you record again and say, okay, I like this scene. No, I have to improve that, okay? And when you are good actors, by the way, I never say on the records that actors are good or bad. What I'm saying, sometimes they don't give us certain, they're not sharing this. They're not giving enough. What I mean by that, they're missing the colors. Because any actors could be very, the best of the best. And that's why the reference to actors, some people sometimes ask me and say, can you cast this particular person because he or she make $20 million? I say, absolutely not. Because I already know that they cannot offer what I think I'm looking for. So for all of you, for all your listeners, it's not... You have to be popular, acting is sharing. That's basically my definition of good acting, if I can say good acting. But I try not to divide it good and bad as an actor because I'm not a critic. I'm just going by provocation. My job as a director to provoke people positive ways if I can. So if I do that, I do a good job as far as in my hands, in my eyes. Now, about the system, so that's basically when I shot the room, I recorded this VHS tape. And by the way, I'm still writing the book about it, the difference between the HD and 35, because we use both cameras. I know it's laughable a little bit, but you know what? The way I see it this way, the simplicity is virtue of success. What I mean by that is very interesting. Even today, after all these years, I still cannot find there's something where people say, okay, this is the HD, this is 35, this is the difference. That's the money what you spend on 35, that's what you spend on HD. I still don't have that. And this is the thing what I said on DVD very openly, that Hollywood was confused. And I was confused myself. And people literally say, oh, he didn't know what he was doing. Again, guys, some of you guys listening to this, you're incorrect. Please ask the question. I'll be glad to explain you what I meant by that, okay? But today, what we do, like we'll be doing, for example, The Neighbors, because I'm playing one of a Charlie character, I'll be recording myself and just watch it and analyze, okay, that's what I want. That's not what I don't want. But I have also assistant as well. So I work with two or three assistants. In the room, I have like four different assistants. So I say, you guys watch this, you give me feedback, you know what I'm saying? So it is very hard work if you refer to directing, acting as well. It's not easy job, but it's very, I love it, you know, I like it.
I say, tell a little bit, for those who don't know what The Neighbors is, why don't you refresh them?
Yeah, let me clarify. The Neighbors, it's a sitcom, it's TV pilot. It's again, you see, I like variety. So we go from homeless to the room, from vampire to The Neighbors. Matthew, you are good.
Thank you.
I know how it will be the sound, how they will listen to your audiences. The Neighbors is dealing with, again, relationship. It's a character, Charlie. You can go to the room. It's theneighborssitcom.com, and you see the synopsis as well, the characters that we are currently working on right now as we speak. Yes.
Well, I say you mentioned earlier about singing. Any plans maybe doing a musical somewhere down the line?
Actually, you know what? We actually working on the remix of their words from the lyrics from the script, and you probably hear something probably because we're working currently. Last year we did some stuff, but we never published. So soon you can hear something.
I say, like you said, from stage to movies to documentaries to television, you're never bored.
No, I like variety, if you ask me. So we have two more questions. I'm sorry I have to go.
Oh, no, that's okay. I would say, has there been any movies out recently that you've been able to watch and enjoy recently?
Yes, but I will not tell you because then people are blogging about it. But I will tell you one thing. I give you one clue.
All right.
See, I make a laugh on you.
Okay.
That's great. I tell you one is dealing with started in S, like a social. I am not telling you the name.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, all right. Boy, you keep us hanging.
It was very easy to find out. Come on, you know about it.
Yes, yes. I say, how was it working with Tim and Eric?
That was pretty good, yeah. They're very nice people to work and very given, but sometimes we're not on the same page, but I've been working with them for four times. Let's see, one, two, three, four times, yes. And they're a very given person and people, you know. They're very creative. That's what the entertainment is about, creation.
Tommy, thank you so much for your time. I can't wait to see you in Bloomington on Tuesday. I'll get in touch with John, and hopefully we can meet up before or afterwards.
Yeah, no problem. And also, if you need any images, whatever, let us know, and thank you.
Thank you, Tommy. Take care.
No problem. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. There you go, my classic chat with Tommy Wiseau.
You knew.
That's right. He won't tell us what films he likes, but it started with an S and it deals with the social or something. Anyway, tonight and tomorrow night at Landmark Keystone Art Cinemas, midnight screenings of The Room, written, directed, starring, and
might
produced
by that guy.
Might you
say this is the midnight movie event of the year?
I would. This is I have not had this much fun at a midnight movie since Rocky Horror, and that was a long time ago. Bring plastic spoons. You'll enjoy it. Just another note, Days of the Dead is happening at the Wyndham Indianapolis West. You can go to daysofthedead.net. Dario Argento is supposed to be there. Corey Feldman, a Nightbreed reunion. Stephen Piercy of Rat, because he's available. Tara Reid, also available. Tom Savini, but this is running through June 29th. How much time do we have left? 2 minutes. Oh, I was hoping we would have less time. So I guess, okay, Chris, it's now 58 minutes into the show. How was Transformers 4? Did we need a fourth?
Transformers Age of Extinction. Apparently
nothing
is going to kill these movies until people stop buying tickets. Which...
And not just here in the United States, globally.
Yeah.
It's a global problem.
As you've heard, you know, Michael Bay has actually announced that this is going to be the start of a new trilogy of Transformers movies. So we got at least
So instead of Shia LaBeouf getting arrested on Broadway, we have Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, so he's pretty much dumped all of the human cast. No Shia LaBeouf, and all I would say about that is thank God for brown paper bags.
Yes.
And, you know, it's as I said in other venues, it's the quintessential summer movie, big, loud, and dumb.
And this case, long, apparently.
Almost 3 hours.
No, not needed. Lawrence of Arabia is the 3-hour film.
When you include the trailers that they inevitably play, yeah, you're looking at 3 hours. In this case, I mean, I don't mind escapist dumb movies, but in this case, it's just like aggressively dumb. And
got a new clip right there.
The it's just action scenes stitched together with human talkie.
That's better than plot things and character things. All right, you've just given us two new nuggets. Thank
that
you, Chris.
Was so good.
Ladies and gentlemen, besides Tommy Wiseau and Chris Lloyd, here's words to live by.
Silent breed is people.
Zardoz has spoken.
Anything new on the film yet page?
Awesomeness,
looking back?
Coolness, columns,
a little of this, a little of that.
Chris, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Hope to see you at The Room tonight or tomorrow. I'll be there tonight. Kobe will be there tomorrow.
Yep.
I will probably be there tomorrow as well. Come say hi, and what are you doing? You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org.
We go. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.
Rest in peace, Eli.